Good morning. Thanks for coming. And today we're going to emphasize 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin with a prayer. And today I'll have the prayer. And Lord willing, next Sunday, Van. I still get Van in Vance. But anyway, Van will have our prayer next week, and so whatever's on his heart, and if you'd like to turn anything in, that will be fine. This morning, we had Flag Day this past week. The goosebumps still go up for me when there's the American flag. And then today, Father's Day. We emphasized our mothers last month. Now today we're looking at Dad. So, and then one sense it seems like a long time off, but our VBS. They'll really be here before we know it. First Saturday in August. So let's really pray for all involved and what we do that day to the glory of God. And I like to view prayer as we're speaking to God, the God of the universe, the God that's in control. So, and then that can mean individually and as a family and as a congregation. And today, Father, we're mindful of all of the fathers throughout the world. We ask your richest blessing to be on the fathers here at Sanford, Lee County, our great state, our nation, and throughout the world. And we pray, Father, that uppermost will be the thought, what do you want in our lives? And also, Father, we're mindful of our emphasis on VBS. And we pray that that Saturday will bring glory to you and that day will accomplish what you want for your people here at Sanford. Bless us in our study today. And we are thankful for what we know as 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My reaction thus far has been, there's a lot in 2 Corinthians, right? Now, again, I'm assuming, including myself, we know a little more about 1 Corinthians, and we should. But I hope by the end of our study, our reaction will be, well, I do know a little more about 2 Corinthians, not everything. This sort of introduced the book. Think of the themes we've already had. Comfort. Forgiveness. Today, covenant. So, think of all the themes in this letter and how we need to know what the entire book says on that dynamic subject. So, again, let me encourage you, if you haven't already done so, if you'll read it just as a letter, try to forget about the chapters and verses. I agree, that's very convenient. But I read it several times in the New King James. And while I think of it, I like some of the translation in the King James for today better than in the New King James. But and I've really been impressed with one of the contemporary translations that I have, God's Word. I was impressed, guess what? Whether one of the Bibles I have, there's the King James Version, the New King James, and for both, the outline we're using, compare Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and 34. Both. That first, even before you read the chapter. So I thought, well, let's do that. So if you have your Bible with you, let's go to Jeremiah. And I'm going to leave it to you, and I'm sure Brian did an excellent job on Wednesday night. What about the time frame for Jeremiah? Some of the Jews thought he was a traitor, needed to be put to death. We're not careful. We think he was a hero. I would just say he was God's man, and what was most important was how heaven evaluated him. That's really, in the final analysis, what it's all about. But let's go to Jeremiah 31. And I'm in chapter 35. That's not going to help, is it? And we're going to look at verses 31 through 34. Now, this is what Jeremiah wrote. Behold, the days are coming. We can look back and say they did come. Says the Lord. When I will make what kind of a covenant? A new covenant. Now, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and I will have to say I liked the new cars and the new car smell, and then one day, guess what? Smell's gone. But a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Now, they were familiar with Moses and the prophets, weren't they? And the debate was, what kind of man was Jeremiah? But this is the covenant, verse 33. That I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their what? Now, I grew up, you know, in the Old Testament, it was just a lot of laws. But I've realized since then, there's a lot said about the heart. Even in the old, right? Has God always been interested in the heart of man? Whether patriarchal, Mosaic, or Christian. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. And we're still thinking about the next part of the verse, aren't we? And their sin I will remember no more. Okay, now we're ready for 2 Corinthians chapter 3, aren't we? Now, this is the outline for the King James and the New King James. First, there's Christ's letter or epistle, verses 1 through 3. Then we have the emphasis on the Spirit versus the letter. Spirit, not the letter, verses 4 through 6. And then this outline, the glory of the new covenant. And Doesn't Paul emphasize even the glory of the old? So let me say, the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets, was glorious. It accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. Now, we have Christ, and the apostles are the prophets. It's really glorious. And I like the comments last week of Jody and particularly Steve. Now, careful, we think about heaven. What about now? We have a glorious covenant. So that'll be the rest of the chapter, verses 7 through 18. Now, let's go to verses 1 through 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle or letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Now remember, many believe Paul was an apostle, but some said, no, he's not. Many like Paul, some wish he'd stayed in Tarsus. So then it finally dawned on me, well, some like Jesus, some didn't like him, so would it follow for Paul? Some would like him, some wouldn't. Written not with ink on parchments, I would add, but by the Spirit of the dead God. No, it says the living God. Do you remember going through God was dead? Was he really dead? Or was he still living? Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Was any of the Old Testament written on tablets of stone? Ten Commandments weren't they? So, now we're ready for verses 4-6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, we're ready to continue verse 7 through the rest of the chapter. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory, now my New King James has, was passing away. Any of you have the King James? Be done away. I like that a little better. I like passing away. But now verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For the ministry of condemnation had glory. The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious has no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, What remains, it's much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Any of you, the King James? What?
Abolish.
I like that a little better. Abolish. Passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in whom? In Christ. For even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, what about the veil? It's taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Other translations have, there is freedom. Does that sound like our country? Land of the free, freedom, liberty. Was it in the Bible long before our country? Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I like the word changed a little bit better. Isn't that what Brian's been emphasizing? We need to be changed, transformed, like more like Christ. Okay. I'm going to shut up and let you speak. Remember, we'll have a prayer, we'll have a reading, let you speak. And there's time for me to get to my notes, fine. There isn't? That's even better. So we started last week and to my right, and so we'll go this week. Maybe you have a comment you'd like to make. Anything in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Maybe you have a question about something in this chapter. Maybe there's another verse you'd like to add, either from the Old or New Testament, that would shed some light on what's in 2 Corinthians 3. Or, we've been emphasizing, I hope you've been doing it, what's said in the chapter about God? And you might want to look for what's said about the Father, what's said about the Son, what's said about the Spirit as we go through the letter. So, and then, we really believe in God and we're a child of God, we need to be changed or transformed. What are you going to remember from this chapter about what you need to think about and live in your life? And I think I've shared with Brian the thought, sometimes I might ask, well, Harry, what do you need to apply in your life? And thought would be, well, wouldn't hurt it. What you taught and preached to the brethren, if you applied it to your life, you need to change. Need to be transformed. More like Jesus than ever before. Not saying perfect, but more like Jesus. So, okay. I have, well, it's still a little difficulty, you know, hearing as I should. Enough said. So we'll let any on the left that want to share something with us, we'll let them do it.
Anyone like to speak on my left?
At one point this morning, we had more people on the left than we had on the right, but it looks sort of the same now. But good to have all. Anyone like to say something on my right? Okay, Steve.
I just want to say I tend to want to look for inspiration whenever I'm reading the scriptures, and I really enjoy the fact that Paul here is not saying that the old covenant was a bad thing, and that the fact that even though it did not lead to final victory to the people who, it even says here, it led to death, and it was a ministry of death, and even that was glorious because it came from God. So it really brings home how great it is that now we're experiencing a covenant that leads us to life. And it's like a 50-watt bulb seems bright until you put it up against a 100-watt bulb or 120-watt bulb. And so you can really see the difference. And I like the way he really brings that home, is that it was great. What God did was great in the Old Testament and giving them the Old Covenant. But the New Covenant is that much better. And because we can compare the two, we can see how great.
Saul the persecutor. But he really knew the Old Testament, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He knew the best. He knew the Hebrew Bible and the Greek Bible. He had grown up the best of both worlds. So I wonder sometimes now, I'm for the new. But could it be that in our zeal to emphasize we're under the new, not the old, that maybe we sort of downgrade the old? And it was glorious. It accomplished what God wanted it to. Now, think what we have today. Okay, anyone else? Like, I'm to my right. We won't go into who's on the right and who's on the left.
I like the fact that he says in verse 5-9, our sufficiency. When you go about teaching the gospel, it's God who calls people to repentance. And the sufficiency is in God, not in ourselves.
Now, we're trying to emphasize the heart of Paul. And I like that thought. He came back, you say, I'm qualified or competent or sufficient or in God. Now, I've heard all my life, when you're in a home studying with someone, where's the power of the word? The power of God is. You're just an instrument helping them. But doesn't the Bible say somewhere the increase comes from God? Now, I've already admitted, I'm prone to say, look what I have done. Would it maybe been better to say, look what God did through me? Think about it. You know, we like to emphasize, look what we've done as a congregation. Why were we able to do it? Because of God. Anyone else to my right? Okay. Well, the clock in the foyer will be our authority.
Mine is not good.
Anyone else? Either side? Okay, Brian.
One of the things that I kind of see Paul impressing on us is the fact that the issue with the old covenant never had anything to do with law, but it was the fact that they didn't go beyond just trying to fulfill its checklist of commands. They didn't allow it to change their heart. And they missed a large portion of the old law, in that they missed the spirit of the law, what it was trying to do in them, like this concept you mentioned later. It talks about being transformed or changed. You can see the different kind of imagery he uses, as stone tablets versus human hearts. He mentions the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, the veil versus not having a veil. It all really, I think, is coming back to this idea of you need to see not just that God's asking you to do something, but he's asking you to do something because it's good for you. And these things need to shape who you are. And he's really, seems like to me, you're pressing upon them. Growing to spiritual maturity is saying, God, mold me, shape me how you want me, and let me get rid of me and remove my desire from it, and I'll just do what you want me to do. Now, that doesn't mean we always understand what he's trying to do for us, but I'm allowing him to do it.
Excellent. Anyone else? I'll try to talk the rest of the time, and as I said last week, I've been known, I don't hear the bell. So if you think I didn't hear it, just raise your hand and say, hey, the bell has rung. I'll say, thank you. We'll try to remember the two bells. A lot of this will be more review. We'll not go into great depth, you know, how many visits Paul made, how many letters he wrote to Corinth. We're just going to put the emphasis on, as far as we have the New Testament, it's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So, but I find the more I read the letter, even what we have today, there's a lot of unity. So, first section will be chapters 1 through 7. Now, I've already admitted, when I went, last time I went to get my allergy shot, I'm still back, and if I'm not careful, in May. This is the middle of June, isn't it? But 5 Sundays. So, just this month alone, first 5 chapters. And it'll be July forward, then 6 and 7. And probably the part of the book or letter that I remember the most, he's going to have a lot to say about giving, isn't he? Chapters 8 and 9. So, I'm looking forward to hearing your comments. I'll just say, if the preacher has some thoughts on giving, it's in your best interest. Now, I know what we used to say. Oh, the preacher wants a raise. He might need one. But if Brian emphasizes anything about giving, that's in our best interest. So, and I agree, balance and timing and all of those things. Then in August, after we've had our VBS, we'll look at the last part, chapters 10 through 13. So, I'm looking forward to 2 Corinthians. Hope you are too. Again, read the letter. You might be surprised. We're just so used, and we're approaching it on a chapter verses. But read it as a letter, beginning to end. Won't take that long. You might be surprised what all's in it. So, today, key word, covenant. Did God have an agreement with Noah for a covenant? Did he have agreement with the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews, Law of Moses and the prophets, what we call the Old Testament? Does he have an agreement with us today that we probably call the New Covenant, the New Testament? So, think of it. Comfort, forgiveness, covenant. What else is going to be in this letter that we really need to zero in on? So, think of the concept, the glory of the new agreement. And then in our chapter, and I appreciated the thought about the veil of Moses. And I did read the Old Testament on what was said about Moses and the veil. Paul says a little more in 2 Corinthians about it than in the Old, doesn't he? So, now, it helped me. Chapter 1, God cares. He cares about you and me. God comfort. And look throughout the letter, and I appreciate the thought this morning, his sufficiency, that's one of the key words. So look for some of these words throughout the letter. Comfort, forgiveness, covenant. So then we studied in chapter 2, God forgives. And I added, I'm giving you two instead of one. God wins. Isn't that the message of Revelation? God wins. And then today, I'll remember God speaks. Can you picture God speaking through Moses and the prophets? And then God speaking today? And, or if you like another word a little better, God reveals. Did he reveal what he wanted for the Jews and the old? And has he revealed what he wants for Christians in the new? So, and I'm going to remember so far, try something, at least one thing for each chapter. Chapter 1, I need to watch my speech. Need to watch what I say. How I say it. Last week, I need to watch my doors, my opportunities, my situations. Give you an illustration. Recently, a young lady asked me and said, "Do you believe in God?" Well, first of all, I was so stunned. But she knew, in her way of thinking, I'd been a former minister, so did I believe in God? I should have then turned around and said, "Well, what do you believe?" Would that have been the door? The opportunity, the situation. And she said, "Well, yes, I believe in God." And I'd briefly say, "Okay, you tell me why you do, and then I'll tell you why I do." If she said, "No, I don't," well, I'd said, "Okay, I'll listen to what you have to say." why you don't. And then, will you listen to me? So I tell you why. We'd have had an interesting discussion, wouldn't we? If she'd have said no. But I look back, I missed a door. I missed an opportunity. I missed a situation. So, here at Sanford, we're looking for our doors, our opportunities, our situations. And you're probably wondering, what am I going to remember about chapter 3? I need to watch my attitude. What I think about the old and the new. Now, I agree with Paul. Didn't he emphasize to the Romans and even the Corinthians, we need to know the Old Testament? There can be value to know. Now, it's not ever saying between you knowing something and being under it or following it, but I agree with him. He knew the old, didn't he? He grew up in Tarsus, but he went to Jerusalem. Whose feet in Jerusalem?
Gamaliel.
All right, Gamaliel. This is my supposition. In the minds of some, that they probably thought, you know, Saul can take Gamaliel's place in the future. But he became the apostle that was persecuted, didn't he? So I would still say, now, we moved from South Florida, 250,000 Jews. Many look, well, that's really a political block, and it is. But I wonder, they know the Old Testament. Do we? Could we still use, why did Paul change? He thought he was doing God's will. He persecuted the men and women that believed in Jesus. Why did he change? Why was he transformed? Whether you agree with what the news says or not. Why? I still believe that's a valid door, opportunity, situation. Why? Why did he change from Saul the persecutor to Paul the persecuted? Why? How would you explain it? Now, in our closing moments, I liked this about the covenants. And you can see whether you agree or not. Ministry. For the old, there's Moses and the prophets. The new sort of shifts, doesn't it? Christ and the apostles, or Christ and the prophets. Moses was a human being. Great man. No doubt about it. But Jesus is the Son of God. We've already studied that, haven't we? So, character. Now, again, I'd agree we need to be very careful. Our text does say the old letter. New spirit. Is that saying then there's nothing in the new that we need to believe and try to live according to? Effect? No. In our chapter today, the old was death. No. Very beginning, you're born, you live. Unless Jesus comes, what are you going to do? Going to die. Now, all of you know my thinking. I'd like to be among the living when Christ returns. I don't know whether that's going to be true or not. Either way, it's going to be a real change. If I die and there's the funeral and all of the things associated, or Jesus returns. So, but the new emphasis on life. I sort of like life better than death. Don't you? But think about that. Glory. We noted the old had glory. And we also, there's great emphasis on your heart, even in the old. The new, boy, it's really glorious. And I'm still thinking about, you know, when we read the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, the glory of Christ, the glory of the Spirit. Purpose, Old Testament. Oh, there were a lot of types. And doesn't say somewhere it was like a shadow. Think what we have now in Christ. Have the real thing, don't we? We don't have the shadow. So, and then the duration. Old, is it going to last forever? Or did we read in the New King James that something's going to pass away? Or I like, you know, something's going to be done away or fulfilled, abolished. I like some of those terms a little better. But then the new, it remains, doesn't it? A new covenant for those 2,000 years ago. New covenant for us living 2024. Did I get it right? I'll have to mention I'm probably back before that still. But anyway. But it remains. So. That really impressed me. Thinking about the ministry of the old and new. Character of the old and new. The effect of the old and new. The glory of the old and the new. Purpose of the old and new. And then the duration. Dwayne, I'll let you talk and I'll try to shut up.
I was just going to say that in today's world, a lot of denominations, religions, they have added man-made requirements. Mm-hmm. That in some cases at least kind of goes back to the Old Testament in a way. Mm-hmm. I guess the greatest example of that is all the things that have to be done in Catholicism. But the New Testament is about spirit. It's about, now there are rules, but there's not the detail that you saw in the Old Testament or in a lot of denominations now, where these details were made up by people, have nothing to do with this book. And I just thought that it's interesting that, you know, we got out of Judaism for the purpose of being spiritually better and more focused on that. And now, at least in the last few hundred years, you see that denominations, in many cases, are going back to, you know, mute things that they do every week, and they don't really have any basis for that.
Clock in the foyer says 10:15, so we'll let that be our authority. Glad you came today. I realize this is the summer, a lot of vacation. If you're in town and can come, great. If you're on vacation, great. Enjoy it. Benefit from it. But glad to have you this morning. I'm looking forward to chapter 4. What's temporary? What's lasting or permanent? So, Good to have all of you today. Thanks again for the comments on both sides.